Hot, sizzling days are ahead, so now's the time to join me, Skip Mancini, for a special series on the cool aspects of water gardening. Throughout time, water gardens have been a popular horticultural element, and a look at various cultural histories shows many references to ponds, pools, fountains, and lakes that have been incorporated into landscapes, grand and small. Artificial ponds have been dated back to the ancient Egyptians over 5,000 years ago. Asian gardens have long held special spaces for waterfalls and reflecting pools to showcase colorful fish and delicate blossoms. King Louis XIV of France developed the spectacular gardens of Versailles, complete with lakes large enough to stage spectacular sea battles in scale boats against backdrops of intricate water fountains. In England, the Victorians took great delight in their public water gardens that were showplaces for giant lily pads measuring 6 to 8 feet wide. These examples of water gardens of the past were usually associated with wealth and opulence, but with modern technology, water gardening has become much more affordable in terms of time and money. If you'd like to try your hand at putting together a pool project, know that planning is critical. Success or failure is determined by placement. A proper site needs to incorporate the existing landscape, provide correct amounts of sunlight and shade, and it must afford shelter from winds and litter. Pond designs can take many shapes, from formal geometric to freeform. They can be as large as your space will allow, or they can move onto a patio in the form of a half barrel or plastic bucket. They can be above or below ground or a combination. They can have a molded or preformed shell, or you can dig a hole to the size and shape you want, then line it with plastic, rubber, or concrete. If you long to see a variety of plants in your pond, be sure you incorporate ledges that provide adequate places for pots and baskets. Other nuts and bolts decisions to be made concern pumps, filtration systems, and pond edgings. Remember that water gardening is not digging a hole, filling it with water, throwing in some plants and fish, and then settling in to listen to the soothing tinkling of a waterfall. It requires installing and maintaining the pond, learning lots of new things about plants, and keeping your sense of humor when you have your first algae bloom and the water turns pea green and murky. Oh yes, and this usually happens on the day that you've invited friends to see your new treasure, so be forewarned. One of the best pieces of advice I can give a fledgling water gardener is to do your homework. Put your water garden dreams down on paper, then begin an information search from various sources in order to make sure you're moving in the right direction. Check out gardening sections in libraries, bookstores, and on the internet. And one of the most valuable resources comes in the form of folks who have been there and done that. Advice from professionals in the nursery and landscaping fields, as well as a sharing of successes and horror stories from experienced water gardeners, will help immensely as you set up your little corner of a tropical paradise. Many communities in our High Plains Public Radio listening area sponsor pond tours, and water garden societies have become fairly common on the arid High Plains. So plan ahead and join the many gardeners who have taken the plunge. And join us next week when we'll look at some of the endless possibilities for planting in and around your pond.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and produced by Skip Mancini.